Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. God wants believers to give their money in secret, so only He knows who did what. That way, we can't flaunt our donations as badges of honor. Today, some conclusions about giving to others so as to please God first and foremost. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In his series on sharing secrets with God, Erwin Lutzer is speaking on secret giving and the rewards Jesus promised to faithful givers.
What reward does God give? Well, the satisfaction of having done it is part of the reward. The reward to do more, because Jesus said, "You're faithful in something that I've given you, and you shall receive more." Also, the reward in the life to come. You don't see it all in this life, but you will in the life to come. He will reward you. I know the King James Version says He will reward you openly. And you know that at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, when all of the books are opened, and I don't want to be too dogmatic about this, but I do believe it is a public judgment. I think we're going to see one another being judged by Christ. And as I've mentioned, we'll first of all be all in the same boat. And secondly, actually what others think will not matter, because at the end of the day, the only thing that will matter is what Jesus Christ thinks. And so that will be very, very important. And we'll stand there before the Lord Jesus, and the Father will reward us. And we will see all of these secret things that have been done by others. And we will see them. And the Father will reward us. Why do Christians sue one another? Why all these hassles? It's because they don't believe in another world. They don't believe that there is a world coming in which God is going to make all of the unjust things right and bring to light the hidden things of darkness. And this is speaking about Christians now. And bring to light the hidden things of darkness, expose the motives of men's hearts, and resolve unresolved issues here on earth. That's part of the responsibility of the judgment seat of Christ. Let me give you three very important lessons that will help us tie this together. First of all, number one, remember that every choice we make is a matter of pleasing ourselves or pleasing God. It's a matter of pleasing ourselves or pleasing God. And it's possible, you see, for us to be so concerned about pleasing others, more concerned about pleasing others than we are about pleasing God. And that's why we live two different lives, the outward life and the inward life, because we don't care so much about what God thinks, who sees the inner. We're only concerned about what other people think, and they see the outer. And all of us live that way, don't we? And to a certain extent, it may be necessary for us to, but looked at another level, the simple fact is that oftentimes we are not real because we fear the disapproval of other people, even though we don't care about God's approval or disapproval. So every choice is a matter of pleasing ourselves or pleasing God. Secondly, we are always in the presence of God. Would you remember that? The Father who sees in secret. If there's any slogan that should be on every wall of our home, it is simply this: Thou, God, seest me. Every deception of the heart, every lie that is told, every false impression that is given, every motivation that is either pure or impure, all of those things are naked and open before God. And the Father sees in secret, sees in secret. And you can get away with what other people think. And you can, shall we say, control or shape what they think. But at the end of the day, it's just you and God. We are all in God's presence. And finally, and perhaps most important, we will not be rewarded twice. We won't be rewarded twice. May I read the text again? Do not do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward of your Father who is in heaven. Verse 4, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Either we serve people and we get the reward. We do it to be seen. We do it because we want to make sure that there's a return, and we receive that return, and it's the end of the deal. It's over. You did it for man. Man praised you. You got back what you wanted. End of transaction. But if we do it for God, if we do it for God, then we believe that He will reward us. He will reward us, and will do so openly. Can we trust ourselves to Him? Do we have enough confidence in God that we don't need to get rewarded in this life? There's an interesting story in the New Testament about a young man who was a rich ruler who came to Jesus, and he said, "What may I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Well," he said, "keep the commandments." And this young guy, being blinded by sin, said, "Well, I've kept all of them from my youth." And of course, you know, the answer to him is, well, then you don't need to get saved because you already are. I mean, if you're perfect, God isn't going to reject anyone who's perfect from heaven. So if you've lived a perfect life, fine. Like that cab driver that I told you about a couple of weeks ago. I mean, if you're absolutely perfect, you're going to slide into heaven and do so with a lot of flourishes and a great deal of fanfare. But Jesus suspected that he was unaware of his sin and that that was his problem. And he said, "Well, if you've kept all the commandments, fine. Sell everything that you have. Give it to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me." Now, let me ask you a question. What if Jesus asked you and me to do that today? Let's suppose he said, "Well, you want to inherit eternal life. Sell your house, sell your car, get rid of it all, go live in a monastery, follow me, and give it all to the poor, and give up all of your wealth, all of your securities, all of your retirement accounts, all of your mutual funds, sell it all, give it away, and come and follow me." Well, what would you do? I think we'd all choke a little bit just before we made our decision. That's a tough thing to do. Jesus, of course, was not saying, as we know, that it is through such an act that you are saved. We are saved because of the sacrifice of Christ and the gift of salvation. But what Jesus was saying to this young man is, look, don't you realize that you have to be converted from your money to me? And that it is your money that really makes you stumble and not see the great need that you have to come in humility and receive eternal life. That's why Jesus said, "Woe to the rich," because it is unlikely that they will inherit the kingdom. It doesn't mean that they won't. There are some who will, but it is hard, Jesus said. It's because you've already got a God. Why do you need a different one? It's a God that we intuitively love. It's a God that makes us all those promises. It's a God that gives us what we want. It's a God that gives us power and leisure and ability and freedom and all those things. So why do we need this other God called Jehovah? There are some of you who are listening to this message today, and you need to understand something. The purpose of this message is not so that you may give more money to Moody Church. Though if that happened, I think we'd try to work it into our system here. I think we could use that, but that isn't really the purpose. The purpose I had was a much deeper purpose, and that is to say that have we been willing sincerely to give to God this God called money that wraps itself around us and builds rationalizations in our hearts and minds and that will not allow us to be free? That's the question. And for those of you who have never received Jesus as Savior, do you realize that you have to turn from that idol and maybe a whole host of others? You have to turn from that idol and you have to turn with your heart toward God and to receive Him in humility, recognizing that you're an idolater. But you come as an idolater. You come helplessly, bound by idols, to receive the gift of eternal life and to say, Lord, I want to accept all that you have for me. Jesus said it clearly. He said, give in secret and be content with that. And your Father who sees in secret, trust him. Trust him. Trust him. He'll reward you openly. Let us pray. Father, we confess today that it is difficult. It is difficult to give you everything that we own, everything that we've worked for, all that we have saved. We confess, Father, it is difficult to crown you Lord over all of it. But we ask today that you shall help us to do that. The issue is not even where we give or how much we give, but whether or not, Father, we have transferred finally and totally the power of money from our hearts to yours, to use the mammon of unrighteousness for just ends. We ask today, Father, that there shall be deliverance in the minds of businessmen who are present and other people, Father, for whom money has become so important that they don't even see, Father, that they are worshiping another God. It's become so much a fabric of them. And then, Father, there may be those who aren't businessmen, but there are those who are struggling with finances. And to them, they don't realize it either, that money has become their God. And we pray, Father, for all of us, as a staff, an elder, an executive committee, and ushers and choir members. We pray today, Father, that you will make us faithful, faithful in the thing for which you promised us a harvest of righteousness, if we'd be faithful in it. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you shall transform us into God lovers. May we be intoxicated by our love for you and therefore give with joy and hilarity and peace and contentment. And for those who have never accepted your Son, we pray that even today they may do that, to know that they can ultimately bring nothing except to receive your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I want to conclude today where my prayer left off. Be very clear that no matter how much you give, you can never change God's attitude toward you in terms of the forgiveness of sins and the ability to know that you will inherit eternal life. Eternal life, forgiveness, those are free gifts that cannot be purchased. That's why the Bible says, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the water. And he who has no money, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." So I speak to you today, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you have the privilege of receiving this gift, and you receive it by faith. But after that happens, of course, you begin to think in terms of, what can I do for a Savior who's done so much for me? And a part of that is giving. Well, God bless you.
Erwin Lutzer has concluded Secret Giving, the first of four messages in a series on sharing secrets with God. Next time on Running to Win, join us for Secret Praying. There's something we'd like to share with you, and it's no secret. This four-part series on sharing secrets with God can be yours on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.